An elephant, a funeral, and more bad news. Monday, March 22nd, 1897. As the hail bounced on the carriage roof, Mink suddenly wondered whether she ought to buy mourning knickers. She thought of asking her maid, who had wept for the dead Maharaja almost as much as she had. But the sight of Pookie's stockingless feet emerging from the bottom of her sari changed her mind. She turned back to the window to distract herself from the loathsome task ahead of her. Wiping away the condensation, she watched the shoppers on Regent Street, the gritty downpour toppling the ostrich feathers on their elegant hats. The horses began to slow and came to a halt outside Jay's, the mourning emporium. The princess had walked past it during countless shopping trips, but never once imagined needing to go in. As she waited for the carriage door to open, she fiddled with the buttons on her gloves, avoiding the window display. But George, the second footman, whose woeful height and lamentable calves would normally have excluded him from such a position, took so long she wondered whether he had forgotten her. Finally, the door opened. Lifting up her skirts, she climbed out, determined not to be sold a pair of mutes. For the funeral attendants hired by the bereaved for their doleful expressions had a reputation for unabashed drunkenness. A doorbell never tinkled so mournfully as the one at Jay's. A lump was sure to form in even a hangman's throat at the sound of its pitiful wail. The princess and the maid stood silently in the entrance, shrouded in black drapery, a vase of white lilies engulfing them in the politest scent of death. As they waited to be served, a huddle of pale-faced female assistants, dressed in the hue of sorrow, stared at them. Those at the back stood on their toes and gazed with envy at Mink, whose arresting looks were the result of an Indian father and an English mother. Her long dark hair was pinned and padded to form a high cushion round her head, and her straw hat was trimmed with daffodils and chiffon, which, they noticed, perfectly matched her green cape jacket. Those at the front stared at her emerald earrings, some of the few family jewels the British hadn't stolen. Added to the colourful spectacle was an older, dark-skinned Indian lady's maid in native dress, a black plait hanging down her back. She was so skinny, she seemed to have been eroded by years of persistent wind. The hush was broken by a sniff, and the princess handed Pookie a silk handkerchief, which she took with grateful bony fingers. Suddenly, as if descended from the overcrowded heavens above, a man appeared. Dressed in the dullest of black, for only tears were allowed to shine at Jay's, he appeared to be executing the humblest of bows. But too long passed before he straightened himself up, and it was soon apparent that he was in a permanent state of humility. His cinnamon hair, the only hint of gaiety in the establishment, was respectfully sleek to his head. He looked up at his customer, from his near-folded stance, with the pitiful eyes of a drover's dog. "Rattikins is the name, ma'am," he said, clutching his limp hands in front of him. "How may I be of assistance?" The princess looked at him uneasily and replied that she needed some morning wear as soon as possible. "First of all, ma'am," he said, "may I offer you the deepest of sympathies? Some of the lesser morning establishments may tell you of their regrets, but I assure you that here at Jay's, condolences are at their most profound. If I may inquire, at what hour did our loved one depart?" The princess thought back to the previous day, when the butler broke the news. "Sometime yesterday afternoon," she replied, her stomach like lead. Mr. Rattikin scrabbled for his watch chain, and with the flutter of bloodless fingers, stopped the time accordingly. Slowly he raised his red-rimmed eyes to her once more. "A tragedy," he said.